Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Iris.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Girl We Have to Talk podcast. So, okay, sorry that I'm late calling you. I called Aaron not to talk about this podcast, to talk about something else. And then I was like, I can only talk to you for 5 minutes, but then it ended up being longer than that. So I was like, okay,
when
but now I'm going
to have you ever been able to talk to someone for 5 minutes?
Sometimes I can, like, but
you
know
can.
what? Yeah, but like when I do talk
People
to
you
somebody,
don't like.
no, but that is exactly what I was going to say. No, even if I do like you, but I'm like, listen, I can only talk for 5 minutes. It feels very aggressive and it feels very like, it feels like I'm just being it feels like I'm being mean, even if I'm not, because I'm just like,
Yeah.
I'm not
But
used to that.
boundaries are firm and they're firm, but they're loving, you know, they're not, but when we, but yeah, I mean, that might be a too strict of a boundary.
Right.
Five
Like I'm
minutes. Yeah.
right. I can only, I called
But
you,
that's
but I can
okay.
only talk for 5 minutes. Okay. So, anyway, how are you? What's going on? Oh, guys, we're going to talk to Erin today. So she'll be on too in a little bit, but we just wanted to hop on and talk just the two of us for a little bit first.
Yeah. So how am I doing? I'm doing well. I think that I'm not sure if we've talked on the podcast that I'm in Austin, Texas right now, but
We have not.
we are post the 2021 crazy weather situation here in Texas. Well, I don't know if we're post actually. I'm still, you know, I found out like Thursday, apparently I was supposed to be boiling my water all week because the water mains are breaking and like it's tampered the water.
Oh.
So I don't know. I was like drinking and using all this water, but I'm boiling it now, I guess.
Okay,
So
good.
I don't
Cool.
know. And of course, my poor dog. Oh, and then I realized, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, Jamie, you didn't forget anything on this long 2 month trip. Guess what I did forget? I was watching TV the other day and there was a commercial for a flea tick medication. And I realized that the heartworm flea tick medication, I did not have it for Maya. And I'm not even sure I gave it. Usually I give it in the middle of the month and I left right before the middle of the month in January. So I don't know if she's had it for January or February. So at least I know now and I got it. I'm getting it shipped through Chewy. So it's coming this
Best
week.
Best dog mom ever. Honestly, did I tell you? I forgot to get Katie food. So Katie ran out of food and she's a very particular diet. So here's the thing, like I didn't,
Maya too.
Yeah. So like I didn't forget. What happened is I let her get to the dregs. Like, lesson learned if I ever have a kid. I imagine this is the equivalent of being like, oh, like they have two diapers left. It's cool. I'll go get them diapers tomorrow. So,
yeah, but you never know.
Oh, exactly. Because then there was a snowstorm and I couldn't leave my fucking house. And
yep.
Also the pet store was closed because it was so much snow. So it was ridiculous. Oh, mind you, like also Katie doesn't get food from the pet store. She gets food from this like organic local place. Otherwise she shits her brains out.
Okay, wait, what kind of food is it?
So it's like this food that they make. It's not a brand. So I go to Pet Wants over in Edgebrook, and it is
Pet
literally
Wants?
Pet Wants. Like this Pet Wants.
Pet Wants.
Yes.
Okay, got
and
it.
So they make the food at their own manufacturer, like in Wisconsin. And it's the only food we've been able to get her because, like, eventually she either gets sick of everything or it makes her shit her brains out after a while.
Interesting. So, she's such an anxious girl.
She is such an anxious girl. And so, anyway, long story short, didn't have food for her for like a day, just a day because of the snow. And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'll make her some salmon and some white rice. Cool. 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 So I got it for her.
Yes. That's
no,
perfect.
She literally shit her brains out.
You're
I went
kidding.
Outside. Yes.
Even with rice? That's
yes.
Like good
white
for
rice.
Aww.
Yes. She shit her brains out. And then she was so sad about it. Like she was so sad. Like her little face and those blue eyes. She was just like, I'm so sorry. But like she tries to tell us she's very good. So like the time she pooped herself, we had gone outside to shovel. So we came back and she had pooped right on the front doormat. And so I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Like this sucks, but fine. And then like the next day she was like, we were all home and she was just like staring at us. And she literally never does this. She like looked at us and then she went over to the front door and she sat down and looked at me in my eyes. And I was like, I think you need to go take a shit. And so I like got all my stuff on. We walked out the door and she like liquid pooped in our driveway. So she's a very
good
girl. Yeah, she's so good. Like she wants to go. Like she's trying to let you know. But like if you're not home, she's like, I gotta poop, guys. Like you fed me that salmon and that rice and now I gotta poop myself. So anyway, yes, we all do forget things for our pet children. And if I had a kid, I'd probably forget something for them too. I think it just happens.
Yeah.
But she's alive. Maya's alive. They're great. They're fine. We're still doing a good job. This is the millennial version of parenthood. They are alive and well.
Yeah. And I mean, the reality is like you, I mean, this is a part of life, right? We're mm-hmm. human. And so it's, things happen.
Exactly.
And it's hard. I think, especially, when you're responsible for something, versus like, oh, I made a bad decision for myself mm-hmm. or for, you know, someone else made a bad decision, but like it was sort of our decision to make, right? But when you're taking care of an animal or a child, I think, I don't have a
yeah.
child.
We're like, one would assume.
I mean, you might have some more insight into this than I do, Iris, but, you know, it's hard because you're unfortunately affecting them. You're making choices for them. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know if I ever have like, so I have my stepson, but like he is mm-hmm. very like, he's never been something like someone, sorry. He's never been someone where I'm like, oh my God. It was just pretty easy with him, I will say. Like, he has, like, and it's easy because there's four of us. He has a mom, a dad, a stepmom, and a stepdad. So, like, it's been, like, who's going to take this one? Like, it's always been pretty easy. I imagine, like, if I do have a kid, I think it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be pretty, pretty tough. But, you know, I think I'm going to like it. But, you know, who knows? I mean, obviously, though, there's no take back, so... You gotta kind of just be like, I'm having a kid. And that's just the end of it. No take backs on that one. They're here to stay. Or at least for me, I think, I mean, I guess you could take back or do that, but I
mean, people try to,
yeah.
And I think that's part of why we have like DCFS, mm-hmm. but,
you're right. Right. Which I mean, honestly, we could have a whole episode about DCFS because personally, I believe that they suck. But that's
they're horrible. Yeah, like, I used to work for the equivalent in the Bronx and they're the worst. They are absolutely the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so bad.
It does not work.
No.
It does not work at all.
I have so many thoughts about it. Like, it is way too difficult to adopt a child from that service for it to be as shitty as it is, because that's actually like one of the things that I would love to do. It's just adopt through foster care because there's so many kids in foster care.
Oh, I agree. But yes, having known someone who went through that, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult yes. process. And you're not guaranteed that you're going to be, how long you're going to have a child or children for.
Right.
And it's just, yeah, it's hard.
It's so hard. Okay. So other than that, what else is going on? You're in Austin, there's snow, Maya's got heartworm.
Yeah. Well, actually it's all
melted.
Nice. Now it's, I think, going to be in the 60s today. So that
beautiful.
Is a nice thing about being here. It's not like Chicago where it's going to be cold for forever.
Oh yes. It is going to be cold here
until
forever.
June.
Mm-hmm. It was like, it was quote unquote nice here yesterday because it
was
30. Exactly.
And the fur is a balmy 30.
It was a balmy 30.
What people were telling me.
I was outside just gallivanting. I was like, look at me.
Wow.
I was like,
you were like a new horse.
Yep. I was just like outside with Katie and I was like, let's just go for a long walk today, Katie. We can be out here cause it's not freezing. Woohoo.
And that's so funny. Cause I did the same thing because it was 50 degrees here, like in the 50s.
Exactly. Well,
but
you know what?
It's been so cold. And I don't know if it's just that I'm in a bigger place than my place and it's been hard to like get the temperature to the degree that I want it to. Mm-hmm. But I also think things aren't built for cold weather
for sure.
here.
Yes, 100%. 100% they're not.
I mean, I think this is the good thing about this catastrophe, like I don't want to minimize. I mean, people are in really dire straits.
Absolutely.
People are dying.
Yes.
Like it's really pathetic and sad because it was all avoidable,
and
but that's what
pandemic,
I'm hoping
people are having $6,000
exactly.
like bills. Like
yeah.
it's like their roof
yeah.
is collapsing and they may have been out of work for the last year. So it's really not great.
Yeah. And so I hope that there can be some learning. I mean, I'm a little skeptical of that knowing the human race, but I want to be hopeful also that we can learn from this and maybe some people might make different decisions about how they address infrastructure and politicians mm-hmm. that they support. We'll see what happens.
I think
there.
There's
so,
going to be some band-aids. That's my prediction. I think that we'll see some mouth service. That's the way of the American people. It's like, we're going to say some stuff and then we're going to hope you guys forget about it. Okay, cool. That's because that's usually what happens. But surprise me, people of Texas, surprise me. You know, I'm
yeah,
from
I mean,
Illinois. I'm
you're the
jaded.
One that sent me that article of that mayor, and which I sent around
He's
to a lot
horrible.
Of different people
was
who was like, basically, like, the government has no obligation to help you. God gave you everything you need. And if you die, you're weak.
Well, then I'm
basically.
Just
strong
I'm like,
will survive.
Yeah, basically, you're an asshole.
That's such the Texas mentality,
but also
too.
Then
I
if
mean,
that's your, like,
it's
if,
such a perfect example.
But, like, my thing is, then if that's like your that's your belief system, then why are you the mayor? Like, technically, we don't need
I know,
you, right?
You should be an anarchist.
Yeah, we don't need you because we have everything we need. There's no need to pay taxes either. Please stop collecting those. Like, obviously I'm able to do everything on my own.
And,
so,
you know, I hate to make this political, but I think that's my thing with politicians is when they, and I won't, and I'll be very good. I won't make it a bipartisan. I'll just say politicians in general, but you know, for people who know me, they might know who I'm talking about, but you know, yeah, this is a pet peeve of mine where politicians are like, oh, we don't need these things until they
right.
need them or their constituents or their family
yes.
or whatever.
Like if it gets like really bad weather and like everything's falling apart
and you
and
decide
you
to fly to Cancun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like when that happens,
yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. And then you cry and say, oh, I knew it was the wrong thing to
yeah,
do,
yeah,
but like,
okay.
I just needed to protect my family.
Okay. And you left your fucking dog. Which literally,
you're kidding me.
Yes. Yes, Jamie. That was like literally that. Okay. It was all bad. But like now, like, you know how crazy I am about dogs. I literally was like,
well, you heard about what Mitt Romney did to his dog. Ugh.
What did he do to his dog?
Oh gosh. I think he like left his dog. Like they drove
oh
with the
God.
Dog on the roof or something. Cause the dog was, I mean, it was a horrible story.
What is wrong? Please don't get dogs. Don't have children. Don't get dogs.
And like new, like it was on a trip and like, I think strapped it. It was a, some crazy story that sounded, and the dog.
Okay, everyone,
like,
please
was
go look
in...
up the story of Mitt Romney and his, that's actually, I'm going to look it up after this. That's actually really horrible. I just don't get it. They're so fucking
I hope
sweet.
I'm not making that
I mean,
up.
I'll go look
if
it
I
up.
Am.
We'll do a fact check next week. I'll look it up.
Okay.
But like,
all right.
That's
okay.
Really fucking annoying. Like why, like. Who leaves their dog? The house is flooding and it's freezing and you left your dog.
I know. Here we are like upset if we forget one thing for our dogs, but they're really still going to survive.
Yes.
And then there's other people that can be so neglectful. Yeah,
I
agree. I don't understand it.
Leaving my dog.
And that stuff again makes me so upset because dogs don't have any choice in the matter,
no.
right? So that gets me, yeah, animal stuff. I just can't.
Seriously.
I can't take it.
Well, then especially
so anyways,
people
let's...
who are like, oh my God, don't abort these babies. It's like, but you left your dog. I'm just saying, like, a life is a life.
Yeah.
Like, you should be concerned about
well,
all of
and
it.
Also,
like,
and also, don't abort these babies, but we don't want to give you any help to help you raise
just
a child.
It's really sad to me. Like, and I'm not saying I'm advocating abortion or anything like that, but I'm just saying the people who are saying this to you are the people who are like, we don't want to help you. We don't believe in any support.
Yes, exactly.
And like, you,
and that's the part of the like hypocrisy I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
it's
yes.
like you choose,
yeah.
you can believe whatever you want, but like the belief, like if it's right or wrong, like that's not for me. But what I'm saying is like, the fact that these people are just like, but also fuck you is kind of like, it's concerning. Like it's concerning and
mm-hmm.
I just don't like it. And honestly, I think we just need a revamp all around. Like, and I just think it's so sad, but you know what? The best thing about 2020 and 2021, I know we're going to maybe talk about silver linings in a future episode, maybe in the summer.
Are we going to?
I thought we were.
Oh yes, we did talk about that. That's
but I
true.
I think we should do the summer because I'm going to feel a lot more positive. I know it because I'll get to be outside. We can go like,
yeah. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the summer. This is true,
yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
I think that's a good plan.
At least know.
Yeah.
So, like I'm going to just well.
No, I see what
I mean,
you're saying.
I might not be able to, right? Because there could be aliens. But at this point, I'm anticipating.
Well, that's what. Yeah.
That
I mean, maybe there's murder hornets.
There
or...
they might be back. But I would love to just go and have like a nice summer. Like you guys. Can go paddle boarding. I'll fake paddle board because it scared the shit out of me last summer. So it'll be great. But what else?
Well, but I think you may have just decided you're not going
to
do it anymore.
I
think I something,
things, but again,
yeah,
several times.
Well, because I'm thinking like a lesson maybe because I think that wasn't a lesson,
no,
right?
No.
There wasn't.
So yeah, maybe I'll do a
yeah.
lesson. That's actually, and there, yeah. Okay. Sorry. That's like,
they have lessons.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I
would do it with
okay,
you.
Cool. I would be interested.
Yeah.
I want a lesson. Also, though,
okay.
like, we went in, like, the end of the season, and I would love to be a little bit more warm. Like, I was cold, and there are,
yes,
like,
I agree.
And there are giant catfish in there, which I know is ridiculous, but I was just like, it was a lot. It was a lot for
yeah.
me.
However, I also just want to support. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. I think that's something I've learned from you, because you're really good at just saying no, because I think I gave you too hard of a time with aerial yoga, and I just kept being like, well, you should try. And you were like, no, I can't do it. I can't go upside down. And so finally I was like, yeah, I need to stop. Like, if she knows, she knows, and I need to really respect
that. Isn't it crazy that like you, but like for some reason, I'm just like so unbothered. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, it doesn't bother.
Because you know, it's not, there's no judgment or anything.
Yeah, I'm just like, no, I can't do that.
And so I think you just hold your line, and I don't know why it took me so long. I should have respected it a little bit sooner, but I think it's just because I enjoy it so much and I want to see that for you. Yes. But like, you are a different person than me, and you have a different perspective than me, and that's okay. And I need to
stick when I'm upside down, but you never know. Like, yeah. I could be in a different space. Like, I was like, I'm just telling you how bad, and I think this is an MS mm-hmm. thing. I was literally,
oh, you know, and I was going to talk about that because I think that's a part of this, but I'll say what I was going to say.
I was looking at something behind me yesterday, and I had to like tilt my head up, and it literally made me dizzy and lightheaded for an hour. Oh, so like,
that sounds horrible.
So, like, I don't know, but I'm interested. Like, I was just talking to somebody else about, like, I was like, you know what? Like, maybe I'll be into it, because I'm still just like, I'm open to trying things.
Well, and you can do things without, there's a lot of you can do without going upside down. However, I think my point is, though, is just like really respecting people's no's is important.
Thank you.
And I think the other thing is, and maybe we should even do an episode about this, because, you know, I work with a lot of people who have a disability, right? Like, they have PTSD mm-hmm. or they've had maybe like a brain injury, or they've had some other type of injury. And I would say MS is a disability.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if you would.
It is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And so I think
disabled, like, I tell people that.
Yeah.
All the time.
But here's the thing. How many people see you and know that?
No one.
Even if they, exactly. And so this is something we don't talk about, like the hidden world of the disabled. And I think especially during the pandemic, it's something we're not talking about. Although things have become more accessible to people with disabilities.
Yeah. Like, I just like every time I'm working from home, I'm just mm-hmm. like, I've been asking for this for so long because it's so easy for me to get sick. And now I'm just like, don't ever try to make me go back.
I know. I totally get that. So I think that's the thing, is that I oftentimes forget you have MS, which I think could be a good thing because you're so functional, but also a bad thing.
I mean,
because this is something real that you're dealing
but like,
with.
I'm like really good about telling people like what I'm sick, and like, you are really good about listening. Actually, what's interesting is I'm doing a training at work about mm-hmm. disabilities, and I'm doing it with a blind woman, and then there's me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I have like mm-hmm. an invisible disability, and she's like very visibly disabled. And one of the things that we talk about is that like, people limit her because they see that she's disabled, and they're like, oh my God, you can't do these things. And for me, like, I seem to be able to do everything. So people, like, if I say like, I don't feel good, or I'm tired, if I need a day to work from home, people just assume I'm a lazy millennial. And I think that it's like,
yeah.
We talk a lot about that. But what's funny that you said this is like, I think she's a little bit biased too, because she has a visible disability. And I actually like,
yes, it's totally different when it,
because like, I was like, well, you know, as a person with an invisible disability currently, right? Like, the thing about MS is it's actually a little bit of both. Like, there can be a time where I can be very visibly, and I have been very visibly disabled, but like, in mm-hmm. remission, which is where I'm at now, it's invisible. But like, I was telling her, I was like, yeah, like people who are depressed, people who have PTSD, people who have diabetes. And she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We need to be careful about what we label disability. I'm like, I'm not labeling.
Oh,
yeah. And I'm like, the thing is,
really,
I'm not labeling this as a disability. The federal government has labeled this as a disability. And like,
good for
and
you.
I was like, and the fact that you don't see that is part of what I want to have this conversation about, because like, you are a person who is like,
yes, look at
because
that.
It's sad. Like, you shouldn't be telling people, who literally, I've never been depressed. Like, and I feel like that, I feel shame even saying that, because I feel like it's actually very normal. But what I'm saying is, like, I haven't been there, but I am acknowledging that I know so many friends. So I know so many friends who've been depressed. Some of my very good friends, to the point where like, one of my friends now is going to be getting disability because of her depression. And I'm just like, to say that you don't think that that's
so
like
hard.
A disability, it's crazy to me. Like, these, it's a real thing. And it has various levels, just like my MS, like, fully functional right now.
And we're told in our society that we should always be okay. So this is something I really struggle with clients, for example, who do have a disability, most notably PTSD, because that's, you know, most what I work with.
I think it's going to be great. Like, I want to pause because like, this is one of the episodes that we actually are going to have. So this is what Jen wants to come and talk about. So we will have like a full conversation about this. And hopefully you guys are interested, because I think it's so important that we like,
I forgot about the mental health.
Yeah,
health
like
piece,
we really
yeah.
recognize mm-hmm. people who have these things going on that like maybe we don't see because people are shitty about that. And it's actually, I want to like the most baseline term is like, it's really not cool. Because I think that those people get so much pushback about like, oh, why can't you just pull up your bootstraps and like go do this? And it's like, well, literally they can't. And you wouldn't say that to somebody who was blind. And like, we should maybe carry that a little bit with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else before we call in Aaron?
Well, I mean, I'm so fascinated by the Tiger documentary, but maybe we should save that for a long time because it's such a deep dive.
Yes. Show episode. So we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Actually, we could do a whole episode just on that. I wouldn't even say we should. Yeah. Because it's everything wrong with celebrity.
I love it. And you know, I'm obsessed with celebrity. We can totally do that. Okay. Guys. Yeah. So we're going to have. We're having a murder episode.
Yeah, I
think
you'll have so many.
And then I'm
going to
watch Tiger, and then Jamie and I are going to talk about
it. And if you don't, then you're just wrong. No.
Yeah, you're going to have feelings. And if you don't, then you need to question yourself.
Yeah, then
look at your life and look at your choices.
You become so good at compartmentalizing like Tiger.
Oh my God, I don't even know what the. I have to watch this now. Okay, so. In the future.
Yeah. And you should look at the text that I sent to you and Heidi, because I did kind of give you previews. And I think Doug should watch it too, because I think he could totally relate
to
some of the
stuff. We have so many upcoming episodes for you guys. But okay, great. I'm really excited. And today, Jamie, I'm quiet this episode, guys, believe it or not. I don't have.
Well, are you sure you want to say that before we record?
Yes. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be like listening and learning. That's what all the people from The Bachelor say. I'm listening and learning. And I'm just gonna...
Well, except for Chris Harrison. He did not listen.
Well, now he is. now that he's listening and learning while he's not working. So like, I'm going to be listening and learning while I still have this free job. So I'm just going to be quiet. Cause like, I think that like, that's another thing that we've talked about a little bit on this podcast before too. There's definitely, and Jamie mm-hmm. was like the first person to say this to me. And like, I was like, no. And then later on I was like, well, yes, there's.
Oh, yeah, what?
Like about how there is a privilege to not being single that I never really considered until you.
Oh, yeah. Couple privilege.
So like,
yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's a privilege to being single. There's a privilege to being in a couple.
No, but there is a privilege to being a single too, but it's not the same. I don't know that that's more of an individual thing than a societal thing.
But like you brought this up to me.
People aren't like, oh, you're so lucky you're single unless something's going wrong in their relationship.
And then they're like, oh, you're so lucky you're single. But most of the time people don't say that.
Yeah. And then the next week they're like, oh, we made up. Everything's great. I'm so happy.
You have to listen to the episode if you haven't already that Tiffany and I did, because like we read a question from some. There's a question that we read from this lady who's in a relationship, and yeah, it's basically exactly what you just said, but and the listeners have already listened. It was like a couple weeks ago, but yeah, anyway.
Okay. Yeah, no, I saw it. Okay, well,
yes.
I'm excited.
Okay, let's get Aaron on here. I'm gonna call her now, but in the meantime, why don't you tell us a little bit about like what we're going to be discussing.
Oh, okay. So you're gonna keep us recording and then call her.
Let's see if it works, right, guys? Like we're like almost advanced podcasters because of this. I think we've done this before though,
without editing. But I'm so glad we don't edit because
it's real. It's a real conversation with your friends who are crazy. But like I think that
Aaron, you mean you? Because I'm not crazy. I'm perfectly sane. Is she already on? Oh my God!
Hello,
magic. Hi, Aaron.
How are you, ladies?
We're good. We're already warmed up. We've been talking for what?
Oh my goodness!
All right, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, you know
I'm
can both talk.
So. Person, I talked to Aaron for 15. I was supposed to talk to her for 5 minutes, and I think it was 20 this morning.
Yes.
We talked though about how that was an aggressive boundary, Aaron.
It's aggressive for me being like, "Hi, I'm going to call you for 5 minutes." That's actually just a lie. It's not going to be a 5 minute conversation.
That's funny.
You know what we should do sometime, Iris, is we should have a competition to see who can talk for the longest uninterrupted.
Oh, it's for sure me.
Like just time it and like see what like just without having to have anyone else talk how long.
I talk to myself for hours because some like this morning I didn't feel good, so like I've been up since like 3 because I had a stomach ache, and so sometimes this But, like, it's okay. Like, it's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but I'm okay now.
All right.
Anyway, but, like, I talk to myself the whole time. Like, in my head, I have, like, running dialogue with my, and to the point where I was like, oh my God, I need to, like,
yeah, but that's different than being timed and being under that pressure.
Do you
really
want to try this? I would say. Because I have a lot to say.
Oh, I think you would win for sure. But I'm just curious.
We'll do it this summer when we can be outside.
I mean, I don't know. It's going to be a real busy coronavirus summer. So I'm not sure we're going to
have
time
for
that.
I'm going to have so much time. I'm available.
I know. I'm joking, obviously.
Oh, by the way, Jamie and Aaron, my backyard gazebo fell down.
What?
No!
From the snow, so like I have to buy a new one. I was actually really so upset about it. Okay, that's like not what this episode.
No, I would be so upset about it too. Okay, so this is okay. Yes, we need to stop. And this is what we're going to talk about on this episode. And like you said, Iris, what do you want to finish what you were saying about what you learned?
Is that I learned about the fact that, like, being in a couple, being in a relationship, it's really different. And honestly, like, I can always listen. I can always give advice. But I feel like sometimes it's a little bit tone deaf and stupid. So, like, I think that I should just be quiet. Like, seriously.
Well, all of us do that.
Whether you're in a relationship.
Yeah. However, yeah, and I think we all need to be checked sometimes that, hey, actually, like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I really appreciate you hearing that for me, Iris.
Like, all right.
It's a hard thing to tell a couple people that, like, hey, actually, like, maybe maybe you don't understand, and that could be okay. Could you, like, learn a little bit?
That's me. I'm just, like, listening and learning, like, seriously, because I'm just, like, I don't fucking know. And, like, I'm not saying that in a way where people are, like, because there was somebody who I was on the phone with where it's cold here, obviously, and she was, like, I don't know. That must be so crazy. Cause like, I've been living in Florida for the last 8 years and I'm like, okay, fucking Karen, shut up. Like, we get it. It's wonderful there. Great. And so then she was like, and then we were like, yeah, but at least we don't have to go to work cause we get to work from home right now. And she's like, well, I remember that was so exciting. I've been working from home for 8 years. And I was like, you're obnoxious. You are truly obnoxious.
And I would say, even if you've been single and you're currently in a relationship, sometimes you forget and things also change. And things have definitely changed during the coronavirus. So I would say that my perspective was very different when I was with my ex for years and I thought we were going to, you know, stay together in a long-term relationship. I can see now some of the things I thought about people who were single were totally fucked up. But I think that's kind of what we do to make ourselves in relationships feel like, oh, well, that could never end and it's just going to continue because it's stressful to think about that you might actually not be in a relationship someday. But the truth is that could be true for any of us. So it's something we all, you know, I think need to be aware of and have some radical acceptance around, especially the more pressure we put on a relationship that it has to continue, the more likely it is that it'll actually end because it's just too much pressure. It's too much stress.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what we're talking about is dating. And I think specifically dating in your 30s, that's the most fun time to date everybody. Really? So make sure that you're single by the time you're 30.
So you can start over. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're 29, you can say like to your, you know, your partner, well, I just hear like it's a really good time. And so I don't know. We got one more year and then I'm going to have to reevaluate. So.
Oh my gosh. So I'm new to dating in your 30s. I mean, only, you know, I'm younger, 30s, early 30s. So I think it's different too than for someone who is probably older, you know, mid 30s or even nearing their 40s. I think it's a different experience.
I agree because that's what happened for me. Like, and actually what's really sad is I think that's some of why I probably didn't, there were reasons I probably could have ended the relationship with my ex sooner, but I think I was really worried about being single at 35 or 34, 33, because I was in that relationship from, oh, I want to say like 32 to 35 about. And you know, I wouldn't even say that I'm the one that ended it. I think it was more mutual really, but I do think that was some of the reason maybe that I stayed, even though there were great parts of the relationship too. So I wouldn't say that was the only reason, but I think as things were challenging, I thought about, do I really want to be single? It's just so hard. And coming out of it and becoming single and now I'm 37, I definitely had to get that validation. Like, is this as hard as it is because of me or because of the age? And luckily, I think one thing that I've done that's really been helpful is learned a lot about being single, all the facts and the statistics and everything from other people who have done this in their life. And I'm also a part of some single Facebook groups. And that's what I did, is I reached out to people on those Facebook groups. And I'm like, what, like, this is what I'm experiencing. And people said, oh yeah, mid to late 30s is a really, really hard time to be single. It's probably the hardest time. And then once you hit 40, there can be this relief that comes. And that's not true for everybody. That's a big generalization. Mm-hmm. But it kind of makes sense, because I think that's the most pressure to have kids, right? And when your biological clock is supposedly ticking, which is kind of bullshit and kind of true, I think there is some reality to that, but there's also some more undue pressure that we put on women and men that I think is probably unfair, and non-binary folks. We'll include them too. So, but is there anything, Erin, that just like you definitely want to make sure we cover or comes to mind right away when it comes to this issue for you?
Well, one thing I would have to say is, more so right now than anything, is not only is it dating in your 30s, but now we're dating in our 30s in coronavirus. So it, you know, we're, before I was never really against dating apps. Like, I was fine with them, but I always like also kind of had in like my back pocket the fact that I could go out and I could meet people organically. So I never had to rely on a dating app and rely on this idea that this is the way I have to meet somebody. And then coronavirus came around and I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not even going to attempt, you know, I mean, I was in a relationship during coronavirus. So one, it wasn't even like a consideration. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a consideration, but even after like that relationship ended, I never thought for a second, like, oh, I'm going to go jump on a dating app now and try to meet. Like, it's so important for me to have the opportunity to potentially meet somebody organically, that just because I don't know, I'm weird and awkward with like dating apps. I especially think I'd be weird and awkward with the dating app if I was trying to do it through like a video chat, which would just be, I don't know if you like the connection is there. And then too, like, I'd struggle with this idea of like, is it a real connection or do we just both really want somebody right now because of the way that the world is going, you know, and because you're stuck inside and because like you can't, so, like, is it really even like a real connection at that point? Like, I think I would struggle with that. And I think too, like, dating in your 30s for women versus men is that I think men tend to be less available because they're married or, you know, they, so it's like you,
or they still want to date younger women and they're still not ready. Which is fine. You could be looking for that, but I think, I mean, this is the thing about online dating. Is it okay that I'm,
of course.
So I think that online dating has kind of ruined dating because it gives you the illusion of control when you actually don't have it. I know when I got out of my relationship at 35, even with all I've known about being single, I still thought, oh, I'll just get on a dating app and I'll meet someone. It'll be easy. I'll do it like it's a job. And I know so many people who feel this way. And it's so funny because I thought this in the past and that didn't work. I usually actually meet people organically and haven't had relationships really work through a dating app. But I still thought that because that's what people tell you. That's how what dating apps tell you. That's how they portray it. Like, oh, look, there's so many people. And I met, you know, this person met their significant other and this person and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it's the reality is it's all luck. There is no control that you have. There are no, I mean, certainly you can make some decisions, but it's not really up to you, or all up to you, I should say. Maybe somewhat it is, but I think we like to think we have more choice and control and power when it comes to relationships in general than we really do.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And too, like, I found with like dating apps versus like meeting somebody organically with dating apps is one, what rubs me, I guess, the wrong way is like, I find them to be so overwhelming that I use it once. I use one, one at a time. I don't do multiples because it's too much for me. And I'll find that like, but I'll change between them. So like, I'll try one. And if I don't like it, then I'll get rid of it. And I'll get rid of it and I'll do a different one. And I'll find the same people on all of them at like the same time. And they're using, which is fine. That's totally fine. Like, But then I'm kind of like, are you serious then? Like, are you trying to seriously find a relationship? Like, are you so serious that you're using so many dating apps because you want to find someone right away and you really want to find that person? Or are you not that serious and you're just using multiple sources to meet many different people to have like hookups and different things? Like, it's so hard to determine.
And this is a myth that I want to dispel, because that's the other thing about dating apps, is that dating apps are for finding committed relationships.
No,
they're not.
God, no.
Most people, well, I shouldn't say most. I'm sure this is somewhat based on my bias and my judgment and, you know, just how I feel, because they haven't been as successful for me as I would have liked. Although in some ways I think they have been successful, because I've really grown as a person and I think gotten rid of a lot of the shame I have around being single. And that's kind of what I needed, I think, more than being in a relationship, to be honest. But yeah, there are many, like, I think we assume, oh, if they're on a paid site, if they're on like a nicer site, like Hinge or Match, they're going to definitely want to know. How many people have I talked to who are like, oh, I'm not really able to have a relationship, or really I'm having a mental health issue or whatever. And they're just, and unfortunately, I think because of the connection to misogyny and sexism and patriarchy, men feel more comfortable doing that. They feel just fine about going on a site and not really thinking about if they're ready. Women are told, you got to love yourself first. You have to do the work. If you haven't found a relationship by 30, you should probably get into therapy because something's wrong with you and you better figure that shit out. And men can take selfies of themselves in the bathroom holding their phone. They can take pictures in their car. Why? This, okay, if there's a man out there who can tell me why men take pictures of themselves in cars, I would love to know.
Or in front of the car. In front of the car is my favorite. It's not just, it's not, it's not just in the car. It's like in the front or like the side of the car.
That's ego. No, that's totally ego. That I can answer for you. That's ego. Like, they think that I'm going to be impressed by their fucking car, when in fact, actually, when you have a picture like that, I probably am not.
Exactly. Like, I don't want to talk to you.
Can I add a note? I'm
seriously.
Sure. Okay, but I'm not. Okay, but anyway. So my question.
As a former single person.
I
former.
Was single before. So. Yes.
You were? Oh my gosh.
I was not born coupled, although I do wish that that were a thing. I'm one of the people where I was like, I wish that, like, if you were born, like, back in the olden days, where they would be like, you are matched with the prince of Nigeria. I'd be like, wonderful.
I so want to bring back arranged marriages. I wish I was in a situation where I could go to my parents and say, can you put me in arranged marriage?
Okay, wait. So my question is this. I just wanted to bring this up and then you guys can talk about it. So to your point, Jamie, women are told that they need to go to therapy. Like, to be honest, I like have told, I'm like, Aaron, you need to have a therapist. This is going to make it. But here's the thing. I'm not saying it because like something is wrong necessarily with her. But I do think though, the fact that women,
that is the message, though. There's so many books out there about love yourself first.
But my point is, though, if you're going to therapy, you're learning, you're working on yourself, you know your value, blah, 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 blah. Yes. And
no, it's not a bad thing. It's to do it for yourself.
Exactly.
And to make sure you're going to get
it. So my point to that was, do you think that because that is really, really happening right now, women are doing that and women are so much more like aware of what they should have, and I think it kind of puts up there's a lot of even books about this, like, girl, you should settle. I we talked about this when we first started. So because do you think that because women are like doing all the work and like becoming their best selves, do you think that that's the reason why a lot of women now are kind of choosing to remain single, because they're just like, this, okay, that was like my question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's so cool is younger generations don't even give a shit. They don't feel this judgment and pressure that I think, unfortunately, millennials do. I think the Z generation is like, whatever, I can date whoever I want. I cannot date whoever I want. Like, there's a lot more freedom, it seems like. And I hope that that can grow to older generations. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Erin?
So I've been fortunate where I've never been in a position, at least not with like my family, where I've been pressured to be in a relationship, which is nice. So I've never felt like, and I've accepted the fact that like I may not be in a relationship and I may remain single. But I will say that I do find that when I'm in a relationship that is like healthy and good and fun and you know, we're both having a good time, I definitely feel better. Like, I feel better about myself. I feel better. I'm happier as a person, I would say. But I do. So for me, it's a little different because I, like I said, I don't feel the pressure that like I have to date or I have to be in a relationship. But I do hope that I do know that a lot of women, like it's just the typical like American dream. Like you meet somebody, you get married, you have kids.
Like, but here's the thing. That's how you do feel the pressure, Erin. Even if you haven't felt it particularly from your, like no one's ever said that to you. Just the fact that you know about that, I do think that puts a little bit, and maybe I shouldn't speak for you. Maybe you would say,
well,
no.
I don't, at least consciously, I don't strive for that. Like consciously, I'm not trying to fit the typical, mm-hmm. like what someone would consider to be like a typical American dream for women to become like married and to have kids and to have a family and stuff. Like I don't
gotcha.
Consciously, like I said, I'm not striving for that. Like, yes, I do enjoy being in a relationship, but I've also like accepted, and maybe that's where the pressure comes from. I've accepted this idea that like, I may not be in a relationship. I may not end up in something long-term. And so I've had to come to terms with this idea that I could just be single. And maybe that's where the pressure comes from.
Well, yes, I think I would say so, but I don't want to speak for you because I would say that I don't know that I've gotten a lot of pressure specifically from family either. I think I have in more like unconscious, subconscious ways, but I don't think a lot of, I mean, I do have a grandfather who I don't really speak to anymore because the first question he always asks me is, are you married? When are you going to get married?
And I hate that for women that's like, and I was reading something that was talking about this and like for women and stuff, like how detrimental it is to them for the first question to be like, do you have kids? Like why do you
automatically it has nothing to do with them and as why an do individual you, women aren't allowed to have
it's insane
lives.
It's insane to think that like I'm useless unless I have children. Like you don't think I can do anything else? There's nothing else that you could ask me about other than if I have kids? Like that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, or you know, are you married?
But that's not the first question. That's probably not even the fifth question that a guy normally gets. You know, when you're talking
Yes.
Exactly. Like, what do you do?
That might be.
Exactly. You know, or things like that. It's never about, you know, it's just ridiculous.
That is also the pressure I think we feel as women, Erin, that probably is subconscious or unconscious for you. That I've talked to like a lot I've read a lot about in books I've read. And in the Facebook group, there was a question about this. And one of the single groups was like, why are more women in this group than men? And the men piped up and said, I think it's because mm-hmm. no one gives a shit if we're single or not. It's fine. It's okay. We don't need the support that maybe
men
women
need.
There was a guy that realized that.
I think
that
also like, like again, just piping in, but I am doing a great job being quiet. But I think even the way that they are described is differently. Like a guy is a bachelor, a woman is a spinster. Those are
exactly. And so I think, you know, that's something to acknowledge. I also think that's the same thing for divorce, because really it's up to, so it comes down to the way men and women are raised. And also I want to just say, give this disclaimer that I'm speaking from like a heterosexual female perspective. And so I realize that I'm not including non-binary folks. I'm not including LGBTQ folks, right? Where some of this stuff might be different. But I think we need to acknowledge that we mm-hmm. live in a heterosexual world, and we live in a two-gendered world, right? That doesn't really acknowledge that there's a spectrum of gender instead of just two. But I think, you know, women are raised in relationship first. That's what they're told is most important. And then they think about the individual second. Men, it's the opposite. And even though in some ways back years ago, that might make sense when men really had to provide, that's not necessarily the case these days, or shouldn't be. I think we're trying to be past that. Although the coronavirus really has put us back in the 1950s because more women are homeless, more women are without jobs because they're having to provide childcare for kids who are no longer in school, right? But that's really, I think, part of the issue is that when we look at a man, we think about him as an individual first, and women, we think about the relationship first. So that means that they're responsible for making a relationship work, for finding a relationship, and they're also the ones at fault if it fails. So that's a big issue, I think, with divorce too, is that women are really looked at as failures, and they internalize that. I know a lot of women who've gone through that. And men, I think it can be, but
okay, I have another
not
thought.
As much.
No,
and I... Okay, I'm back. I'm being quiet.
Okay, so, yes.
Just wanted to add perspective from a person of color. What I will say is that Black women are usually actually seen as more individuals and, like, usually we've talked about this before, head of household. And I think to point to that, though,
mm-hmm.
Yes,
because they're single parents. Were raised often, to be
like a lot. Okay, so historically, really quickly, lots of the time, Black men were taken out of the household for various reasons. They were in prison. There's a lot. Yes, there's a lot of history about like jail, why that happened. So a lot of the time, mm-hmm. Black women have mm-hmm. been everything. Mm-hmm. They've been a mom. They've been the individual contributor. They've done all of this stuff. However, what I will say.
Right, and this is due to racism.
No, it's not like Black men are going to jail. You can watch. You can watch a documentary. Yeah, no, watch the documentary.
But I think that's what people think. Crack,
and it'll explain all of it. But anyway, like, that's so, but my point is that, like, Black women, like, we've talked about this before, too. Like, the fact that I'm married, Nina's married, and AJ's married, Anaj is in a really serious relationship, Marshawn is married. Like, the fact that we're married or in these serious relationships that are going to lead towards marriage is actually very surprising. Most Black women are not married. In fact, like, out of all women, Black women are the least likely to be seen as desirable or attractive, and it is because of exactly what you just said. Women are typically supposed to be seen as community, as family, as like the softer thing, but Black women are not seen mm-hmm. that way, so therefore we are less desirable and way less likely to be married. And I think it kind of speaks to your point that if you show any of these other characteristics outside of what they have told you to do, which is basically a Black woman, you will be single. And that is really sad.
So, question, Iris, I'm curious about this now that you say that, and we're going to, let's just use like white women and Black women, for instance, for the sake of the conversation. Do you feel that women, white women, are brought up to be or taught to be, or do you think it's because they're more submissive?
Hi, Jamie. We all got disconnected.
So okay.
So we'll just wait for Aaron to hop back on. Sorry.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, it was a good...
Hi, Aaron. Sorry. We all just got disconnected. So.
Oh, no worries. I was like, I don't know what happened.
So, Aaron, do you want to start with your question again? Because it kind of cut off perfectly.
It did.
No. Maybe just reiterate your question.
So I guess my question was, do you feel or do you find that, like, women, white women specifically, are brought up to be or taught to be more submissive than Black women? And so therefore it's, and I'm not saying it's unfortunate for two reasons. One, it's unfortunate that women of color, Black women, are not in relationships because they're so strong and because they're so independent. And then on the other side of it, you have women who are white women who end up in these relationships, but it's simply because they're submissive and they don't have a voice and they're not willing to speak up for themselves and they're not willing to say anything. So on both sides of it, it's kind of shitty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I think
women lose out.
Yeah, Jamie and I think we haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I was talking to Jamie and Heidi about this because we were talking about feminism, and honestly, it's so different. Like, intersectional feminism would encompass all of this. So I think it's really a great way that we could, I hope that it moves towards all of it is that way. But mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yes, because, like, white women sometimes take Black women out of the equation, unfortunately, which is really, like, sad. Like the Me Too movement, for example.
Yeah.
And our conversations are just, you know, they could be so, exactly what Aaron just said is a great example of intersectionality, right? Like mm-hmm. how this idea actually is harmful to Black women. And, you know, also if we bring it into a further context, white women are submissive, Black women are dominant and bitchy, and you don't want to be with them because they're going to be assholes, but you can walk all over white women and treat them like shit. And you know what? If you want to fuck somebody, go find yourself an Asian or a Latina. You're over-sexualizing Asian women and these Latina women, and it's all bad. And it's all just because of, like, these stereotypes that they have. And it's so disgusting, and it's really harmful for everybody. But when we don't have, like, intersectional conversations, then it's like when Jamie and I were talking with Heidi, it was like, we were just saying, like, and then I brought this up and they were very welcoming to this, but it was like, yes, women are seen as, like, quieter, and I'm like, no, like, it's actually the opposite. Like, for Black women, if we, like, I'm super cautious about everything I say because I don't want people to be like, oh my God, you're being so aggressive. And I'm like, listen, I just said the same thing that fucking this other person just said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure that could be such a trigger because they're trying to put you in your place.
Right. And you don't feel like you can say anything at all. But that's why you sometimes just get women, especially Black women, where they're just like, I need to get shit done. So like, if you think I'm aggressive, you think I'm aggressive, and like, there's nothing else I can do about it because I still need to get shit done.
Yeah.
And so then, but then if you get women, even to that point though, you get like those really more dominant women. Like, I think, what is her name? She's not my favorite, but she's like she was on that movie. She's blonde. She's a news anchor for Fox, or she used to be, and then she moved.
Megyn Kelly?
Being assertive and dominant. And then Donald just attacked her. Like, he attacked her because like she was speaking up for herself. And that's basically the case. But like, he specifically, there's been lots of Black women who've come out. He specifically hates Black women because like, we are more likely to be like, this is not okay. Like, but you know what? It's because we've been, for better or for worse, allowed or had to push into this space where we've had to say something. I mean, if you have a situation where like lots of people, like you're the head of a household because society has locked up all of the men, or if, you know, nowadays, even like I talked to Julie about this and she was like, I think it's changing. And like, it is, but even if you watch things like The Bachelor, it's not changing, where all of the of the women that were darker, like The Bachelor is Black, all of the women that were darker skin were eliminated. And he ends up picking.
And here's the thing is producers have said they encourage what the decisions are. So it's not like he's just making these decisions as a Black man, but that's what people think.
Right. And so, but then he ends up in this space now, right, where it comes down to the last two candidates is this lighter skinned African-American woman, and who is dynamic. She is a basketball player. She's a principal. Like, she's dynamic. And he ends up picking this white woman who turns out to be a racist. And it's just like, what a story. That's basically where we're at. So like, it's really difficult for all women. This is not about being single or not being single. But I mean, I guess it is when you really think about the tone.
No, it is, because it's exactly what you're saying. It's about intersectionality. Because if we're talking about being single or coupled privilege, right? That's another piece of the intersectionality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
And I know nothing about reality TV because I don't watch it. And so I know nothing about like
Good
The Bachelor.
For you, Erin.
Yeah. And I know nothing about The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. But I have to believe that like for someone who's single, so not like not for me and probably not for you, Iris, obviously, because you're in a relationship and you're married.
And not for Jamie either. She hates that shit.
Okay, so not for Jamie either. But I have to believe that someone who is single, who's watching that is changing or warping. Oh my God. Like, that's just making it worse.
I started watching The Bachelor when it first came on when I was in college. So I'm sure it shaped what I believed.
Yes. Yeah.
And how many people, by the way, like as you get, this is another thing, as you get older and the single field starts narrowing down. Now, the funny thing is I've heard then when you get into your 40s and 50s, as people start getting divorced, the single field opens back up again.
Well, yeah. So that's,
But when you're in your 30s, you know, it starts narrowing. And then so people are like, oh, well, you're single and that person's single. Maybe you should be. It's like, okay, there are more discerning factors than the two of us being single.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. That's not a match made in heaven, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, so just because we're both single.
I don't know if you've gotten this, Erin, but I feel like this is another thing. It's like, oh, well, you should go on The Bachelor or you should go on, you know, Love at First Sight because, you know, maybe you should just try that. Like, be really open and all. It's ridiculous. If anything, I want to be more discerning because I know myself better and I know what works and what doesn't work from having other relationships.
Well, and I don't know why anyone would ever think that like being on The Bachelor or being on any of those or The Bachelorette would be beneficial.
They don't like, they don't have a good success rate. That's the funny part.
I think
you probably have a better chance of success rate.
I think you just want to be an influencer at this point in 2021.
Yes, but you know what?
Yes.
Iris, I still have people, and I think it's more older generation people that are like my mom, I'm going to sign you up for The Bachelor. And she's sort of kidding, but she's sort of not when she says that.
So like, I think that I will like, okay, so here's another me. I'm not quiet anymore. So I
always, I never say this to you, Jamie, but I joke with Aaron all the time about it. But here's the thing.
Because I hate the show so much because and I make fun of it. So like, I make fun of it.
I feel like you have to defend yourself here for certain things you said. You don't have to. Don't worry about it.
No, I mean, it's totally a joke. Like, I'm never concerned that, like, I'm going to turn around one day and Iris has signed me up for The Bachelor because I think she knows I hate it so much that, like, it would never happen.
Behind what you're saying. And I think, Iris, you are such an open person and you've been so great from what I understand to both of us in saying, like, yeah, be whatever you want to be. And that's what everybody should be doing for their single friends.
Yeah.
Be whatever the fuck you want
to
be.
Yeah. And there's no pressure to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Because the reality is that part of why my relationships haven't worked is because I thought everything would be perfect once I was in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I thought that's all I needed. And it was not true. And I put so much pressure on the relationship when it wasn't going that way that I don't think helped things at all.
No. Okay, guys, I am now being quiet again, but also have to say we've been talking for almost an hour. Jamie, do you have a question that you wanted to read?
Well, what do you think, Erin? Do you want to keep talking about things? Do you want to do a question?
I will say, like, one more thing, and then I'm happy to do the question that I've realized, I think, in my 30s more so, is, I mean, my 20s, I spent a lot of my 20s in one relationship. It was 8 years, so it was a long time. That's a long time. So I didn't give me enough time to really, like, learn about myself and learn about what, like, my own, like, needs are, as well as, like, my own areas that I could work on. Because I don't want to say, like, I hate the pressure that women are under to date. But at the same time, like, I do think it is important that we all take a step back. And I'm new to this. But I do think it's important that we all take a step back and try to figure out, like, if we're in our 30s and we're still trying to date and still trying to find, like, that long-term partner, what is it that we need? Like, are we not speaking up and saying what we need? Are we, you know, like, what is it the area that I also need to work on? Because I do think a relationship, as easy as men may have it, I do think a relationship it requires work from both parties. And, you know, it's easy for me as a woman to blame the guy if it doesn't work out. But I know that there's areas where I needed to work on as well. And I think that not being able to do that in my 20s is partially why I am now dating in my 30s and I'm trying to find a relationship, is because I didn't discover what I needed for myself in my 20s. Because we're under so much pressure to just date right away and to just be in a relationship, we don't take the time to take a step back and to say, what do I really need? What do I really want? What am I looking for? And so you're just relationship to relationship to relationship. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're in your 30s and you're like, oh shit. And it's still not working. What do I need to do, you know, for myself? Or, and I think that's part of the problem, is that women are under so much pressure to just date. You don't take that time to really figure out. And then when you do, then all of a sudden it's, what's wrong with you?
Yes. But that's kind of, I want to challenge you a little bit here, Erin, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's kind of what you're saying though, right? Is you did something wrong and that's why you're still dating. But I think there are people who do that and are still in relationships too. So I don't know that that's necessary. I mean, yes, it's good to learn. It's good to grow. It's good to look at how can we be better in relationships. But I think we also have to be careful to say that's the one reason why. And I don't know if that's what you're saying. Maybe I'm just, you know, sort of.
Wait, that's the one reason why you're not in a relationship? Or,
well,
that's the one reason why?
The one reason why you're not in a relationship, because that's what I heard you say, and maybe that's my own bias. But I think, because that's something that really I really struggle with, is when women do that, or men, and say, like, well, I did something wrong and that's why I'm single. Well, no, not really, because, like, there are people who do those things wrong and they're still in relationships. Like, I think it's less about I think it's less about what we do, and I think it's more about luck. We want to make it that it's about making decisions, because that's what tells us that we can do it differently and we're in control, and that means we're going to be in a relationship. But the reality is, it's a crapshoot. We just don't know what's going to happen. And I think
that's true. Yeah. I agree. Yes. Yeah. I do think that even if you do everything right, it could still,
you could do everything wrong and you can be in a healthy relationship. Like, And that's what I think is baffling. I don't know if you've had this experience, Erin, but you're like working so fucking hard and then you see other people's relationships and you're like, what?
You're like, how does this work? Yes. I know. Yeah. Because that makes no sense.
Yes. And mm-hmm. it may even be healthy. They might have amazing partners, and you're just like, oh my gosh, why? But
Iris, we know this same person. I don't remember if Iris knows this story or not. I'm sure once I tell it, she'll remember. But we knew this woman who, like, her and her husband, or her and her boyfriend, moved here from, I want to say, like, California or something, and they were dating. And mm-hmm. she told us a story about how, like, he cut an onion wrong for, like, a dish that they were making. And she lost. Iris, do you remember this?
No. Who is this?
Oh, my God. I can't think of her name. And so she cut, like, he cut, they were cooking together, and he cut the onion wrong. We were at her condo, and we were in, like, her movie theater of the condo when, we were talking about this.
Bailey.
Is that her name?
Yeah, she's an Asian descent woman. She lives in a really cool apartment. Yes. Okay. I remember.
Yes. Okay.
I was going to say, so, like, she had a theater in her condo.
Well, like in the building. Like, the building had, like, a room that you could rent out that was, like, a theater. That, yeah.
Julie but, has so, this in her place, too. I think this is, like,
all she does. Like, yeah. Really, it's just, like, a normal thing. Think, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And actually, if I'm not wrong, I think Heidi has something similar, too. I think those, like, nice condo buildings, like, have these special rooms for people.
This is what you pay for your HOA fee.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Stupid, but it's ridiculous. But so she was like saying how she, like, literally, like, and she was not afraid to, like, admit that, like, she, like, chewed his head off, and she's like, I just wanted it cut this way, and he, like, didn't do it. And I'm just like, one, I'm not, like, that anal of a person or that, like, over controlling of a person. Like, I give a shit how you cut an onion for a meal. But I was just like, how is this, like, how can you do this? Like, I would never think to do that.
And think that they
are still together. And,
yes, so and to think that the relationship would still, like, I'm so paranoid, I think, in a relationship that, like, I'm afraid that if I say the wrong thing or I do the wrong thing or I ask for the wrong thing, that person is just going to leave. Like, yes. I'm so and cautious about, like, what I say and what I do and how I present it. And, like, and I also keep, like, a running total in my head. I'm like, okay, how many times have I brought up something that is considered controversial or considered, like, a topic that you don't want to talk about?
Are doing this in their head, Aaron?
Oh, sorry.
No, God, no, no.
Yes. And so this is what we do to women, but guess what? None of that is right, Aaron. That's what's been told to you. It's all luck.
Yeah. I mean,
it really is. Like, I believe that more and more as I get older. And actually, that pressure we put on ourselves to do everything right, that ends up getting out into the atmosphere, that energy, and that can be hard
for
relationships to survive.
As a person who's being really quiet on this call, because I know Aaron and I know you, I think that you all are so, like, what Aaron is, so I want to say that, like, Aaron, I don't think that, like, you doing your therapy and everything is, like, going to be like, oh my God, now I'm going to find this perfect person. But I do think, though, like, unlike you, Jamie, or maybe the Jamie that I know, because maybe you used to be like this and Jamie and Aaron's just, like, a few years behind you. I think that I've talked to you about this before, Aaron, as a friend. You struggle to express yourself at all.
I do.
Oh, I'm just a few years behind her. Okay. For sure.
Yeah. Like, she, so I think it's like, even if, and also though, like, we've talked about this.
And that's the thing about getting, by the way, into your mid thirties, Aaron, is you kind of don't give a shit anymore.
Yes. And you're like, I want you to not give a shit. Just say whatever you want, whatever. I don't, like, it's fine. Like, you are.
So, like, and that's the thing. And I made this point, like, with my therapist yesterday, and I was telling her, because she asked me, she's like, okay, so let's say, like, she used, like, my car, I was explaining my current situation to her, and she's like, okay, so let's say that he does leave, and, like, he does, and it's just over because you said something and that caused him to leave. Like, what would you do? And I'm like, I would do nothing. Like, I'd be sad. I would be sad, and I'd be at home and I'd be sad. But I also would be like, I'm very much the type, like, if you don't want to be in my life, I don't want you in my life.
Would,
and I'm not going
to, your life would go on.
Yes. And I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to beg you to be in my life. I'm not going to make you be in my life. Like, if you don't want to be there, then don't be there. But, like, I'm the last person that's going to come crawling back to you and say, oh my God, I miss you. Please come back. What did I do wrong? Like, I can, cause I did that for 8 years and I realized it was wrong. And I was tired of doing it for 8 years. So I do think that, yes, you are right, Iris. I am someone that does hold back how I'm feeling. But I do get to a point, like, for me, it's so, like, I hold back on feeling. I don't express to a point. I don't express it a lot. Like, I might express it, like, with emotion sometimes, but, like, I do hold things back until I hit a breaking point. And that breaking point typically is, like, if you decide to, like, walk away from me, then I'm like, okay, fine, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to beg you to be in my life. Like, it's not a big deal. And there's like no middle ground for me is like the problem. Like, there's no middle where like I do speak up and I do express. It's kind of like, okay, I take it, I take it, I take it, I take it. All right, now I'm done. And it's over.
Like, yeah, I think I was like that too.
And so to your point, Jamie, like, I do think it's a lot of luck, but also though, like, and this is not like, I don't mean this in a shade way to you, Aaron. If there was some guy who came along right now and was like super like healthy and like wanted to be in a relationship with you, but like you just not saying anything and shutting down, that person had worked on their shit. So they were like, listen, I don't want to hang.
No, you're right. And so like both people should be working on their shit for it to be healthy.
So like, that's what my whole thing is like, no, I don't think therapy is going to be like, okay, so you have completed this round of therapy. So here is your man. Like, I don't think that's going to
happen. Yeah. But that's what we're told. No. It's like, we're getting a certificate and then okay, bullshit. Now here's your pick.
But I do think that like your picker will be better. Like, I've been friends with Aaron for like, often, like basically, we're just gonna say we've been friends for 5 years. Like, when me and Mike break up, we have to break up, so we're not gonna count our breakup in this friendship. We've been friends for 5 years. You are literally the type of person where you will never say like anything is wrong ever. You're so formal, like to the point where I even talked to you this morning and I was like, can you just text me and tell me like what's going on with your life? And like, you could just open up and be open. Like, and I
used to be though. Yes, I do feel like I was at one point.
I say like, again, you were like, when we first met, that's like why we got along so well, is you were so open and just so like,
so it sounds like you've had some relationship trauma maybe.
Maybe that plays, like, obviously I know that that plays, but maybe too, that's also affecting like the dating in my 30s too, because it's a fear. Again, I have a fear that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe and maybe not.
I don't know.
Also, like, if you're like, but to the point of like dating people who suck, and Aaron, I'm saying this knowing that like the person you're dating might listen to this. I don't think they suck. But what I am saying is that like you not having any, I feel so nasty saying this, but like you not having any boundaries because you're not aware of what your boundaries are is a problem. I think that Jamie is coming from a different place.
Well, and it's not just a problem for intimate relationships. Exactly. It's just a problem in general, because I think that's the thing, is that if we make it about, well, it's because of this, and then if you just fix this, right? Like, it's the same. No. So we have to be careful with the language. And I think for you, Aaron, I'm just excited because I know for me, this journey has been so helpful in getting rid of my shame. And I think if I hadn't been single and if I was in a relationship, I would have so much shame. And I would be less happy than I am being on my own and choosing that now. I hope that for you. And I hope just for the, you know, whatever's there about the fear that you have about speaking up or any internalized stuff. I hope that, you know, that's your journey, not necessarily that you choose to be single, right? Like, I would love that if you want to be in a relationship, that's great. I want to support that, right? Like, it's not about, I think sometimes I read comments in the single Facebook groups about like, well, I choose to be single over a bad relationship. Well, we shouldn't have to like make one better than another. Like, being single or being in a relationship both have their benefits and both have their downsides. Yep. And we don't have to compete.
No. But I've said this to you too thousands of times, Jamie. Like, I think we met each other at the perfect time because exactly what you're saying about Aaron is what I mean. It's like, like, of course, like, you having no, like, I feel bad saying this. I feel bad. It's so bad to say somebody doesn't have boundaries. Like, you do have boundaries. You're just not aware exactly of where they are.
It sounds like she does, but that she's lost her way, which I think anyone would, given what she's gone through. Yes. I know I 100%. Did.
100%. And so I think
I think all of us lose 100%. Our way in different ways.
And that's why I'm saying, like, if you want to continue on your path with your therapist and through, like, I think also having friends like me and like Jamie, where like, I'm totally willing to be like, I talked to you this morning and was like, hey, like, you just need to like, tell me what's going on. Like, I need you to like, be like, open with me. I'm not saying that like, you being closed off is just an issue with your relationship. So I want to be really clear. It's an issue like with you, like for you, your soul. Like, I can tell that you're,
I know.
I think you will feel a lot more free.
Is this okay that we're talking about this? By the way,
it doesn't bother me.
Because I don't want it to be like we're sort of pointing the finger at you, because I think all of us at times, like, Iris has stuff that she needs to grow on. I have stuff I need to grow on. So like, I just want to be sure we're not.
And I mean, I know that this has been a problem of mine for a very long time. Like, I know that, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to, like, be this, like, perfect person or to come off or come across as being a perfect person.
Two. You're two, but you're a wing one.
Yeah.
Or a wing three.
I'm a wing three.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm a one, and that's, I think, where a lot of my pressure, perfectionism comes from, and the shame. Yeah.
But I think that we're like,
Well, my fear is that if I'm not helpful, then I'm not useful. And then someone will leave. That's my fear. And it's happened. Like, it's happened. Like, my father and I, we have no relationship anymore. Like, we don't talk anymore.
But the thing is,
because
I'm so sorry. And it sucks. Like,
oh, no. Literally. I mean, there's nothing to be sorry about, but I think it's literally because I did everything that was expected of me. I did more than what was expected of me. And the minute that I asked for something, or the minute that I said, no, I can't, it was like, okay, you're not useful to me anymore, and walked away.
Also, Erin, what I will say, though,
that hurts my heart.
It's so sad, but also what I will say, Erin, is, like, just to back you up on this a little bit, and so that you don't incorporate, like, I want you to disassociate this. Like, this is not a therapy session, but, like, you told me what happened with your dad, and no, you actually still are giving to him currently at this moment, and he's still.
I am. Yeah, I know you're right. Yeah,
a piece of shit. So that's not a you thing. Like, that's.
It's so hard though when it comes to family because we really want connection, and we're told that we're supposed to have connection. Like, I think that's the area that I really struggle with the most, and other than intimate relationships, I definitely struggle there too, I guess, in some ways, but. And I feel like with clients, that's the hardest thing I work on with clients, because there's just such this internalized, I must be close. I must make this work. My friend has this great relationship with their mom and with their sister. Yep. And why don't I?
But Jen, like, and I have an episode about that.
But everything looks good. You know, everything looks good from the outside. You know, I mean, everybody's obviously got something.
People have wonderful company faiths, don't they?
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, I was talking to my therapist about that yesterday, and she's like, well, what is this? Cause I told her, I was like, I struggle with this idea in a relationship, specifically in romantic relationships. And I struggle with this idea. And I do it more now than I think I did when I was younger, is I create this image of like whoever I'm dating, I create this image of who they would leave me for. It's not any, I'm not basing it off of any specific person. It's literally this like imaginary person that I've created in my head that if I'm not perfect, if I don't fit, like if I'm not a certain size, if I don't look a certain way, if I'm not a certain thing, then they're going to leave me for said perfect person. And so I've created this idea in my head that like, I have to be like, and again, it's not perfect that like, I think anybody could actually be perfect, but it's whatever that person's idea of perfect is. And that's like what I'm striving to like be and striving to do. And if I don't, or if I say the wrong thing or I say it the wrong way, then they're going to like walk away and they're going
to,
you know, and they're just going
to. Same thing. I used to try to figure out what was the, what they wanted, the ideal, and then be that. And I would lose myself.
But what I will say to both of you is that like, you are both like perfect the way that you are.
Yes, and that's like, what I've come to.
So,
and it's so amazing to get to that place.
And there's so much good, especially about like there's Jamie, like there's so much good about you, obviously. Erin though, like you, there's so much good about you. And like the thing that I think that's really nice about you and Jamie having this relationship is that like I feel like Jamie is very, very aware of who she is as a person. And I feel like for you, Erin,
it's taken me so much to get there.
But you really are so aware. And I think that like my point for you, Erin, is that I don't think that you trust yourself to be yourself, but I've seen who you are and you're so wonderful. And I hope that like you can just show everybody how awesome you are, because like you're so fun. You're so smart. You're so helpful. You're funny. You're witty. You're outgoing. You just need to like live inside of yourself and like shine that, because whether it's the dude you're with now or a friend that you're friends with now or your apartment that you're in now, wherever it is, like as long as you're just being true to yourself. And I know this sounds like super self-helpy, but really you're going to feel so much more at peace, like, and comfortable with whatever situation it is when you can just be like, no, this is who the fuck I am.
Well, and again, I think that obviously I was that way at one point, because that's how you know what I mean? That's how you know about it, because I was.
I think we all kind of go through a loss of innocence and we lose our identity. And that's basically the work I'm doing with clients, is something traumatic has happened and we're working together to find their way back to their true selves.
Well, and the nice thing about having like friends, I think, and therapists is that like we like, I want to be the type of friend that's like, I want to shine your light back at you. So hopefully, like, you can, like, mm-hmm. have that with people in your life. I think that's what we all need, is people to do that.
I do think it will. I think it's just, it was like, it's like a domino effect. It was everything mm-hmm. at one time. 100%. And so it's really easy. Like, when all those things are going wrong, even if it's not something that I directly did, it's very easy totally. To say I'm and the you're problem.
Not. Okay.
I mean, and I'm not saying I'm not, like, I could, I mean, I need to take responsibility, you know, if there's responsibility there to be taken by me, but I definitely, it's very easy, you know, when things are, you know, and I think that's easy for women. I think women just in general, you know, it's easier for women to take the blame and to say, okay, I'm the problem if something goes wrong. Whereas for men, and especially in dating and stuff like that, they will not, you know, it's
yeah.
for them. They don't accept the blame. They don't take the blame. They don't say, okay, I was the problem, or I need to work on that.
Society doesn't make it so that they have to, which is kind of the whole.
Yeah.
They no, don't have exactly. to be accountable. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like it's one person's fault or the other. Typically in a relationship, like something goes wrong and it's typically like, you know, both of you could have fixed it or worked on it or whatever it is.
It's about the fit of the relationship. It's never about yeah. one person, just like in a friendship or family or whatever. It's the yeah. two people and how they're like, how things work together, mm-hmm. the dance, they often call it.
Well, and I think it also matters too. Like, I know you say it's a lot of luck, Jamie, which mm-hmm. I do agree with. Like, I do think a lot of it is luck, but I also think a lot of it too is like, it's a matter of like, how much are you willing to like work on that relationship with that person?
No, I agree.
You know, and so true. Like, but I also think too, like, then luck does play into that, because you've found this person that even if the relationship is not easy and it is difficult and there are, you know, bumps, they're still willing to like mm-hmm. be there and work through that with you. And I do think that is where the luck yeah. does come in, is right, that you're lucky you're to find
in, you're not in control. Right. Like, that's what happened with my ex. Like, I stayed, we tried to work. He was working for a while and I was working for a while. And then I think we just couldn't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that.
Well, I feel like,
and you just never know.
And like, you just,
you don't. Then no. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, no matter how much you do, like nothing's guaranteed.
Right. But I want to at least say
that I did everything I could.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's commendable, because that is true, that we assume that relationships are going to be perfect, or that we're always going to have this limerence, which is like that falling in love feeling, which isn't true.
No,
that
it does not
last. And so then we don't always put in the work. So I do think that absolutely, Erin, you're right. That's something to be proud of. And that does make us more likely to be able to be in long-term relationships later. Yes. And it also tells us what's worth working on and what's worth walking away from. Like, sometimes yes. it is the best decision to not put yes. in any more work.
And I think back to Erin's point is that, like,
I thought it was called Girl We Need to Talk, not Girl We Have to Stop Talking.
Okay, but to Erin's point though, and to yours too, when, like what Jamie just said, when you're working on yourself, that's how I think you find out when it's time to go. Because if you don't know yourself, you don't know when it's time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I struggle with that with my last relationship, for sure. I mean, and all relationships. And I think we all, like, it's hard. It's one of the hardest things in life to know. But I think part of it is that we make the assumption that a relationship has failed if it ends. And that's not true. Many, I would say even most relationships are meant to only last a part of our lives. It's crazy to think that, you know, we just can't have a lot of relationships that last forever. We wouldn't have the bandwidth for that.
No. And I think, yeah. And I think it has to do with like growing. And I do think some relationships, like Iris, for instance, a lot of your friendships that you've had for, you know, 15, 20 years and on, I think in that instance, because they started off so young, you guys were able to grow together and kind of be, you know, go through that together, which is really nice. Whereas like now, Iris, like how we try to find like friendships, you know, in our 20s and 30s and things like that. I think that that's also at a time where women specifically are also trying to figure themselves out. And so.
Hi, Erin.
Hi. Apparently the podcast just doesn't want us to record anymore.
Hi, I'm back.
Oh, hi, Jamie.
Okay, so Jamie, you were saying this is what happened in your last relationship?
Well, actually, Erin was talking. Okay. So go ahead, Erin.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just saying that I do think, as to Jamie's point about how, like, we just don't have the bandwidth for that many relationships, or they're just not meant to last. I don't think every relationship, you are right, Jamie, I don't think every relationship is meant to last forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, whether, that's what I was clearly, saying is that we assume that they're a failure if they end, but that's silly. Like, there could definitely be a benefit. And I think all the relationships I've had, there's been benefits. I've learned from them.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts or anything else that you guys want to talk about?
No, I think we've really talked a lot, which is great.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, thank you to both of you.
I know, I was quiet for such a long time.
You were.
Like... Too funny, Iris.
Until you jumped in and said, I'm not quiet anymore, which I thought was great.
But it was a decision. I made the choice. I was like, okay, I was quiet for long enough. I have an opinion.
But yes, but that's the point. And they were good opinions. And it was, you know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you all have, like, a good rest of your day. Jamie, good luck with Texas.
Thanks. At least it's warm today. I'm going out to brunch.
Oh, have fun.
Yeah.
What time is brunch?
Oh, not till 1.
Oh, okay. Oh. Great. Well, have fun.
Thanks.
Aaron, you have fun today, too. I don't know what you're going to do, but have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. Both of you have a good day.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.